Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
Barb, I have to ask you something real quick.
I'm ready.
How much stuff have you gotten rid of because of PFAS?
I don't know how much stuff, but the thing I've gotten rid of in my house that has caused the most trouble is the dental floss. We had this nice slippery dental floss that had PFAS in it, and I went through the house and chucked it all, and I replaced it with this like organic natural dental floss, which is like basically string.
Oh, no.
It like breaks
your
up in your teeth.
Gums.
And my husband and kids are like all mad at me about it. But man, I'm trying to help you guys.
You're trying to save their lives.
That's what I tell them. I'm saving your life.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Barbara Moran, you're back.
I am back. I can't believe I'm back talking about PFAS again.
More PFAS. The PFAS party continues.
It is, and it is a party. Woo!
Yes, let's get into it. Big, big news came down last week from the EPA.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the EPA has finally come up with regulations for PFAS in drinking water. Yay! Everybody's been waiting for this for like forever. I mean, because they came up with guidelines years ago, and then they were supposed to come out with regulations in December, and then nothing happened, and so everybody's been waiting around, and so they finally came out.
Okay. Yep. So that's progress, right?
Yep.
And for the folks who may not know, who may just be tuning in, you know, just showing up to the PFAS party, or for those who've been to the PFAS party and need a reminder, tell us, why should we care about this class of chemicals?
Right. Well, because they're super toxic and they're in our water. So they have been linked to a lot of diseases and harmful conditions like liver and kidney disease, which are not good. And it is widely distributed in a lot of our water supplies and in a lot of our drinking water. And it never goes away, right? It sort of doesn't break down in the environment. It stays in our body for years and years and years. And this is what makes it a real problem. And that's why people call it a forever chemical.
Okay, now break down these new proposed limitations for us.
Okay, so what they did was they took two PFAS chemicals called PFOS and PFOA, and those are the ones that have been around the longest and people know the most about them. And the limits on those are 4 parts per trillion each. So that's a teeny, 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 tiny amount for each of those. It's like the lowest possible, really, that you can detect in drinking water reliably, right? So super low levels for those two. And then they took these other four, They grouped them together and said that we're going to come up with sort of a group limit for them. And I'm not sure what that group limit is yet, but that is getting sort of figured out right now. So these are draft regulations, which should be finalized by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But the weird thing is, right, so the EPA took so long to come up with these that some states, like Massachusetts, already come up with their own regulations. So Massachusetts has had pretty strict water regulations for PFAS since 2020, and the EPA regulations don't quite match up with the Massachusetts ones.
The EPAs are more strict than Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, they're more strict for these two chemicals, and then they have two chemicals that Massachusetts doesn't regulate right now, like a Venn diagram. Like they kind of match up with Massachusetts, but not totally, you know. So Massachusetts is going to have to go fiddle around with our current regulations to match up with EPA.
Mm-hmm. So, Barb, I'm thinking about my water pitcher in the fridge, right? My filtered water pitcher. It's blinking red, telling me I need a new filter, and I'm kind of dragging my feet. I got to go to the store. I got to spend money or whatever. I'm thinking that's the situation here on a much larger scale now, right?
Yes.
How will this all be paid for?
Yeah. Water filters around the country are blinking. Okay. First of all, get your filter change. Okay.
And I've been drinking PFAS all week.
Yeah, you have. So don't do that. Go get a new filter. Ew.
Yeah.
Gross. I'm
definitely going to get a new filter.
Yeah. Okay. So, right. And then, yes, how is this going to get paid for on the giant water filter scale? Mostly it's going to get paid for by you and me and other people who buy water. And there is some money out there from the federal government. Like the EPA just gave Massachusetts $38 million to help with this. But, you know, it could cost one town like $30 million to do with this. So there's not enough money out there to pay for it without some of it falling on customers. I do have can I say one bit of good news? There is one bit of good news. So the MWRA, which supplies water to most of Greater Boston and a bunch of other communities, I checked their website today and they are all clear for PFAS, even under both Massachusetts and the proposed EPA regulations. So far, the biggest water system in the state is good to go.
Okay.
Yay.
That's good news.
It is. It's wicked good news.
And also kind of leads into my next question. It seems like Massachusetts is already doing the work to some extent. You know, the state implemented their own PFAS regulations in 2020, correct?
Yep.
What would those changes look like?
I think what's going to look like in Massachusetts is towns are going to have to change what they're testing for. Right? Because the EPA is going to require new chemicals. Or even if they're already testing for these, they're going to have to report them, right? Mm-hmm. It may require some towns to swap out their filters more often. And it may require some towns who haven't had to filter their water for PFAS, they may have to install expensive filters to do that.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Barb.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
I want to go back to the EPA for a second. You know, they issued these new proposed drinking water limitations for the first time in 17 years. But we've known about the harmful impact of PFAS for a very long time now. So why did it take so long for the EPA to do something?
Well, that's the big question, right? That's the big question everybody's been asking. They have had guidelines for a long time. Things take a long time to go through the EPA because they have to base it on, you know, science. And It's only in the last couple years that the National Academy of Sciences has come up with some solid guidelines on PFAS in general. Nothing happened on it during the Trump administration. I mean, all those kind of sound like lame excuses that, you know, they should have done something a long time ago. And, you know, most of the scientists and environmentalists I talked to said, you know, when the EPA came out with these proposed regulations, they first said, yay. But then they said, it's about time, right? Wendy Higer-Bernays, who's a professor at BU, she's a toxicologist. I've spoken to her a bunch of times about this. And here was her big takeaway when the EPA came out.
It means that the federal government recognizes and is willing to regulate these highly toxic chemicals that have been largely unregulated for decades.
So that like sums up sort of what a lot of people are saying. This is good, but it's about time. And what took you so long?
Mm-hmm. And right now, these PFAS regulations, as long as they took to get here, are proposed.
Correct.
What needs to happen to get these finalized?
Well, first comes the comment period. Dun, 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 dun. So there's like 60 days where there's comment on the regulations, right? So Everybody who has any stake in these regs are going to come and speak their mind to the EPA. And then the EPA will take all those under consideration or not, You know, and then hopefully finalize the regulations by the end of the year. From what I understand, the EPA had figured out their regulations last October and sent them to the White House before they released them. And then they sat at the White House for like 6 months at the Office of Management and Budget. My understanding that was that the reason they were sitting there, the reason for this delay was because of concerns about cost, about how much it would cost the country to implement these regulations and whether that cost was even feasible. So I think during the comment period, that's a lot of what people are going to be talking about, right? How are we going to pay for this? Who's going to pay for it? And how will it be possible to implement this? You know, one of the other people I've been talking to a lot during my research is Jennifer Peterson. And she works for the Massachusetts Waterworks Association, which is an industry group. And she said, and she's not the only person who said this. I mean, everyone I talked to said implementing these regulations across the country, the cost will be mind-boggling. This is how she put it.
While treatment is possible, treatment is expensive. And so when we have to deal with new regulations like this, some of the other really important public health items get pushed back. For instance, you know, replacing pipe that's 100 years old.
So it's not just about these municipalities simply don't want to spend the money. It's that they have money that needs to go towards other important projects.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly. And like, there's definitely going to be trade-offs. I mean, it's going to hurt, you know, putting this in. And the other thing that keeps coming around to the same thing that everybody keeps telling me is like, we need to do a better job regulating chemicals before we dump them out into the world, right? And for these ones, PFAS, we really need to regulate them much more tightly. And we should really, you know, look at cutting them off at the source.
Barb, I want to bring it back to the people, the folks who are most likely to pay for this stuff.
Yep.
What reason do we have to think that these new regulations will make a difference?
Yeah. Well, scientists have been able to pretty solidly link these toxic chemicals to a lot of health conditions. And when Michael Regan, who's the head of the EPA, introduced these proposed regulations. He said that if these go through, these new regs go through, they will prevent thousands of deaths and tens of thousands of PFAS-related illnesses. So that sounds pretty good, I think.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Barb, as always, this has been a pleasure, despite the fact that we're talking about PFAS.
Seriously.
But thank you so, so much for coming through.
Thank you, Daryl, for always being interested in this dreary subject. But it's important. And Daryl, go replace your water filter. Go do that today as soon as we're done.
I'm on it. Okay. I'm on it. I need to get out the house anyway, so I'm on it.
Good.
That's WBUR climate and environment correspondent Barbara Moran. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on PFAS, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.